I'm Patricia Benjamin. This is the Ask Patricia Show, and you're listening to Roulette Radio.
Now we moving forward, ever backwards, never forward, ever backwards, never. And when the going gets rough and life gets tough, don't forget to breathe. I love it here, 'cause I don't have to explain to them why I'm home. They tear my soul apart. Ooh, love my broken heart. I don't know where to start. The way you smile when you believe in a future is different. It's different. Now we're moving forward. Nothing such a beautiful world, they see. Oh, baby, surely you did not go through all of this here for nothing. You're nothing such a beautiful world, 'cause nothing can be loved into something. Nothing can be loved into something.
To something, to something.
Nothing can be loved into something.
To something,
to something. Now we're moving forward, ever backwards, never forward, ever backwards, never. And when the going gets rough and life gets tough, don't forget to breathe.
Guys, welcome to the Ask Patricia Show. How you guys all doing? It feels like an age since I've spoken to you all. But those of you who follow me on social media, particularly Facebook, will know that I've undergone a bereavement, losing my beautiful mother a few months ago. As I have been sharing, I have been in the Caribbean for several months looking after mum and dad. And I call them my VIPs. However, back in April, it was mum's time. She transitioned. She was promoted to glory, as many say. And I've just been dealing with all of that and the formalities. And of course, looking after dad, because dad's still here. And, you know, I need to stay even more with dad. He really needs, I'm very much needed at the moment. And so life has had a little bit of a interruption for me in the normal scheme of things. But, you know, as they say, life goes on. But what I did want to do, which I felt was very important, particularly bearing in mind the several shows that I did back in the beginning of the year talking about self-care and self-love, I recognized that this wasn't a time for me to carry on as normal and to just, you know, stick to the plan. Self-love sometimes means taking time out. Self-love sometimes means not carrying on with the normal routine and to know that you need to do things a little differently. So I took some time out, but that doesn't mean I wasn't thinking of you guys. I wasn't thinking of the audience. I wasn't thinking of you listening to me right now. I have been, you've always been in my thoughts. I've been doing this show for a number of years now, and this is really my heart. And the things that I share are coming from me. They're coming from my own thoughts, my own inspiration, my own intuition, as I am led and inspired. And even though I've been going through this bereavement, that doesn't change. I'm just in a different headspace, a different emotional space. And the most important thing is just to learn to honor yourself wherever you're at in life, just to honor those feelings. And so I recognize that, as the scripture says, there's a time for everything, and including a time to mourn. But I'm not going to be mourning on this show, but I am going to share with you some strategies or techniques that I've been using. Some of them are not necessarily new, but they are ones that helped me at this time. Now, I recognize that with COVID still being an issue, unfortunately, I'm more than likely not the only person that has suffered a bereavement. There are many of you who have. And I should say, for clarification, my mother did not die of COVID at all. In fact, she wasn't sick for 1 minute, not even a moment. In fact, I may share during this episode the moment of her passing, and there wasn't a moment of illness. It was very special, very precious, and I was there at the time. So I may talk about that, but bearing in mind, many of you and many of us are going through trying times, I feel that taking care of ourselves is actually a premium. It's not something to do when you can find the time. It's something to do because you have to make the time, especially now, emotionally and mentally. You know, when I take a temperature check and I look at what's the narrative is worldwide or globally, I recognize losing your own power within, that inner strength, is not an option. We need to be strong on the inside. We need to be powerful on the inside. It's a must. And so I want to share some of the things that have worked for me, and also share some of my own challenges, the things that I found difficult and made it more of an imperative for me to take on board these strategies. So stay listening. This is the Arts Patricia Show, and you're listening to Rurek Radio.
Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Oh, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Listen, Lord, if you want to know what the world needs we love, it's the only thing that there's just to live. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Oh, not just for some, but for everyone. The only thing that there's just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for
love, sweet love. Oh yes, it does. So listen, on today's Ask Patricia show, I'm going to talk about ways to love yourself, ways to love. And the reason I'm saying this, because I had an actual deeper revelation of self-love. I've always talked about self-love as a basis, you know, for self-esteem and confidence. I thought it was very important. It started there. But, you know, in the last several weeks, what I have recognized is self-love is the foundation for everything. You know, it's the acceptance of who you are. And when we accept who we are, we don't look at other people with a sense of, oh, why can't I be more like her? We stop the comparisons because we recognize how truly valuable, how truly special, how truly precious, how truly unique we are. And that is where your power comes from, is knowing that you don't need to compare yourself to anybody. And that means that you are free to be yourself. You don't doubt yourself. You don't think, well, I can't do this, or I can't behave in a certain way, or I can't use a particular gift. You know, let's say you're a singer, you know, or a secret singer, somebody who only sings in the bathroom. And I know that might sound strange, but I actually had a client, two clients actually, that had the best voices, so gifted, but they would not sing in public. But secretly, deep down, they wanted to sing. And one of them would tell me that she'd listen to shows like, you know, American Idol. And she'd think, gosh, I could do better than that person. I've got a better voice. I could do this. What am I doing? But she had no confidence to sing in public. She couldn't open her mouth because of the doubt. So it's like one part of her saying, you know you can sing, you know you can do this. Another part of her saying, sit down. Who do you think you are? Sit down. And this is lack of self-love. Because if your self-love is in place, when that little voice tries to say to you, who do you think you are? Sit down. You're going to know what to say to that voice. You are not going to sit down, but you are going to open that mouth of yours, open those lips and let that beautiful voice come out. And that's the same with anything. It's hard for anyone to trip you up or make you doubt yourself when you recognize that you are a unique expression of God, that He created you purposefully and on purpose, and there's nobody quite like you, and you are an expression of God Himself. And when you fall in love with that, and you recognize that this is who you are, you're meant to be here, and you're supposed to be here, and everything about you, God has blessed, because He put you together fearfully, wonderfully, intricately, very specifically. And when that is your basis, you won't be moved. You won't be moved. And I know that might sound strange because, you know, as a believer, we will say things like, God is my foundation, God is my strength, and we trust in God. And that is correct. But there are many people, and I'm sure you know them, maybe not a million miles away from you, that will say to you that, you know, that we trust in God and God is our strength. And it's very easy to say we trust in God because, of course, He is God. You can say that. But when the onus is on you to do something, when the light is on you to say something or to step out, that is where it begins to show up. Do you believe in the God in you? Do you believe in the greater one that's in you? And that's where the disconnect comes forth. We say we believe in God, but God lives in you. Like the scripture says, know you not that you are the temple or you are the sanctuary, you are the dwelling place of the living God. So He lives in you. And you live in Him. And so, if that's the case, you need to love yourself. You need to believe in yourself. You need to have confidence in yourself. Because you know why? God has confidence in you. Because He knows what's in you. He knows what you're made of. And He believes in you. And so, you need to do exactly the same thing. So self-love for me is even more important, and that has been like another layer to the foundation. But as I was saying at the beginning of the show, with the passing of my mom, I've had to activate that self-love in a different way, because you know there's different ways of loving yourself. And what I've had to focus on is my health. Yes. Now, very often when we think about health, we think about exercise and losing weight. Because very often people that feel that they've put on weight, and especially with the COVID, you know, I put my hands up here, although it's not all been COVID, but COVID's had this part to play. And, you know, not going out as well as we should because of these various lockdowns. Life is very different from how we knew it. And it can have a negative effect on our bodies. So often we say, oh, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to take up a new health regime. and weight loss is often at the forefront of that. But I have taken my health from a different point of view. Yes, weight loss is part of it, but it's more been a question of listening to my body, learning to listen to my body. Did you know that your body speaks to you? Yes, it does. And that our body is actually a mirror of our thoughts and our beliefs. Yes, yes, yes. It's so interesting. There's such a connection between mind and body, between our mental space and our physical space. And so part of loving yourself is learning how to love your body. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs from this book, which is all about loving yourself. And this chapter talks about freeing yourself of disease. Now, you can take from this what you want. So there might be something that really resonates with you. It could just be a sentence, but I'm going to read it and then tell you what I got from this. Health, which is defined as a state of wholeness and balance, doesn't only pertain to our physical selves, as we have come to believe by conventional medicine. It relates to us on three dimensions, as in mind, body, and spirit. Health then becomes an interrelated web of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual dynamics that affect one another. But in order to have or to achieve tri-dimensional fitness, we must be very clear about how our bodies respond to and manifest disease. First of all, let's look at the word disease. Ease, according to the dictionary, is freedom from worry, pain, or agitation. I need to interrupt it right there. Listen to that. Ease means freedom from worry, pain, or agitation. So let me just ask you, have you been worrying at all? Have you? Just be honest now. Have you been in a state of worry? Have you been in a state of agitation? Right. So, ease means freedom from that. Back to the book. Dis is a prefix that negates the word it precedes. It converts the word to the opposite. So, dis-ease is an unnatural, agitated, out of balance state. So, dis-ease in our minds, bodies, or spirits means that we have the agitation, doesn't it? That's what it means. It means we have agitation or pain or worry in our bodies. So, some people say that the body, like everything else in life, is a mirror of our thoughts and beliefs. The body is always talking to us, if we only take the time to listen. So, when your body is in a state of disease, it's sending you some very important messages. Disease, pain, is our body's way of getting our undivided attention. Naturopaths, homeopaths, etc. confirm what many cultures, indigenous cultures of color, have accepted as basic truths for centuries, which is this: our bodies respond physically to our thoughts, to our emotions, and our beliefs. Let me say that again. Our bodies respond physically to what we're thinking, to how we're feeling, and what we believe. Now, that will just set you free right there. if you take it on board. It really will. So, self-care enables you to take back your power when it comes to your bodies. So, that means we don't have to give our healing responsibilities to doctors and surgeons and medical experts. Now, that's not to say they don't have their place. So please put everything in context, okay? Their role should really be to facilitate the healing of our bodies, not to be the authorities over them. So we can listen to our bodies. So I'm kind of interrupting because I go along and interspersing my own thoughts. Because, guys, I have to say, throughout these few months, I have really listened to my body. Just sometimes when I needed to just do nothing, you know, just do nothing, just not do very much, because I felt the need to take a break. And that might seem small, but it's actually big, because it's very easy to look at everything going on around you and think, well, I've got to do this. I've got to get this done. I've got to go here, and actually put your body through stress, because you're not listening to when your body's saying, I need to rest. I need to recuperate. I need to self-heal. Because, you know, the body does heal itself when you give it the time and the space. But when we don't listen to our bodies saying that we need a rest and we continue, we actually can provoke. For some people, they have actually a mental breakdown. Some have a physical breakdown and their body says, you're not going anywhere, and they just don't move. We've all heard stories. We've all heard situations where it's actually your body just says, no, it's not going anywhere. And we don't really want to get to that space. So it's about listening to yourself, listening to your body. Even with food, so interesting. 2 years ago, I remember being in Trinidad, and just I'd fill my plate up with my food, and I'd put the nicest piece of chicken on the plate with the lovely vegetables. And when I would sit down to eat it, I would eat everything on the plate except that juicy looking chicken. I didn't have it. And this went on for some time. Whatever meat kind it was, I just didn't eat it. And I recognized that my body didn't want to have meat. I know. Yeah, I wasn't trying to be vegan. I just didn't want to have any meat at all. And so for about a year and a half, I just ate vegetables. And it wasn't hard. It really wasn't hard at all. In fact, it was beautiful. I just fell in love with vegetables all over again. They weren't a side dish. They weren't just on the side. They were the meal. And I discovered vegetables that I didn't know about. I discovered vegetables as a child that I thought, oh no, not that again. I don't like spinach. You know, I don't like broccoli. But now, oh my God, broccoli is just up there. Like, give me the broccoli, please. You know, because what I listened to my body. Because maybe my body did not want to have to process that animal flesh. It didn't want to take it on. And we do know, doctors tell us that a lot of diseases of the colon is a lot of decaying matter that hasn't been broken down by the body, and it's just there. And so it is good sometimes to just listen to your body, what it needs. And I pray that this is something that you are already doing, and if you're not doing that, you will perhaps think about doing more of that.
Please bring positivity into my life every day. Please bring positivity into my life every day. Please bring only joy and peace and everything positivity into my life,
into my life,
every day,
every day.
Please bring positivity,
positivity
into my life,
into my life,
every day,
every day.
Positivity into my life,
into my life,
every day,
every day.
Please bring only joy and peace and everything that is love. Please bring joy and peace and everything
into my life
that is love
every day.
Into my life every day. Please bring positivity into my life every day.
That beautiful song there, Positivity, was by a group called Beautiful Chorus. Please bring positivity into my life every day. Just as a side note, guys, I've just started this positivity challenge. It's 30 days. It's 30 days of positivity. It's like a positivity challenge. So I thought, let me just add that on. So I'm going to let you know what my challenge is today. It tells you what the challenge is. So I haven't looked at it as yet. So as soon as I look at it, I'm going to tell you, and perhaps you can join me and build on the positivity. Now, the reason that I wanted to just focus on that is this again with our bodies. Did you know that every thought and emotion we experience causes a chemical response in our bloodstream, our organs, and listen, our immune system? Yes, listen, every thought and emotion we experience, yes, causes a chemical response in our bloodstream, our organs, and our immune system. Now, you don't need me to tell you that with what's going on globally right now, and many people living in anxiety, in worry, in fear, and concern over a sustained period of time, this is and will continue to cause a chemical reaction, not a good one, in our bloodstream. Remember, our life is in the blood, in our organs, which we need, and our immune system, which protects us. Yes, so listen, repressed negative emotions trigger dissonant vibrations in our body, which can ultimately lead to disease. Now, these can be emotions such as frustration, emotions such as anxiety, rage, anger, and resentment. They all have a lower vibration. They're on a low vibration. You know, we used to talk about keeping our frequency high, keeping our vibrations high. Obviously, anger, frustration, rage, anxiety, resentment, they're not going to keep your frequency. They're not going to keep your vibration high. They're going to bring you low. So those emotions with the low vibration actually can pile up and create blockages in our energy system, the energy system of the body. So this book says the areas in our body that are the site of these blockages become weak and vulnerable to disease. Okay, so those of us people of color, especially us ladies, within the last decade, there have been significant increases to specific types of physical disease amongst women in general and black women in particular. This rise in certain types of diseases indicates a major crisis. Black women are disproportionately manifesting diseases that are anchored in the feminine and reproductive organs, such as the breast, the uterus, the ovaries, vagina, and cervix. What that tells us in bright neon letters is that we are literally dying from lack of being nurtured, lack of self-nurture, and repression of our femininity. We also need to know that disease that locates in our feminine organs is often caused by unresolved bitterness, anger, and resentment, many times towards men, such as a father or a father figure. The number one physical disease that results from unexpressed, unreleased, repressed anger and resentment is cancer. Among black women in this last decade, there has been a meteoric rise in breast cancer, cancer of the cervix and the uterus, cysts and fibroids on the uterine walls and ovaries. Now, if cancer is a manifestation of festering anger and harbored resentments, the first question to ask is, anger and resentment at whom and about what? Unhealed emotional pain, compounded disappointment and frustration from perhaps a current or past marriage, lack of touching, lack of bonding, lack of intimacy. Now, these are quite deep, and I'm just gonna do an overview today because this is quite a big topic. But it also talks about deep secrets or grief. Somebody like myself and anyone listening who has a deep grief can actually eat away at you. So it's important that when we're talking about self-care and self-love, that we look at our bodies. And it is not just, I'm going to get a manicure today. I'm going to get a pedicure, which is nice, yes. But we are looking a little bit deeper. And I want us to focus on for these few moments on the thoughts and emotions that we're experiencing, because these can cause a chemical reaction, a chemical response in our bloodstream, our organs, and our immune system. And so this is where my positivity challenge comes in. It's really making a point of doing something positive every day. It's making a point of not listening to gossip. It's making a point of not spending time embracing anything that's of a low vibration. And that can include the news. In fact, a lot of the news now, it's just never positive. It is not positive at all. And if you're one of these people that feels the need, I need to know what's going on, and you sit in front of it from morning till night, you're going to know that most of what you're hearing is not going to build you up. It's going to break you down, make you lose your faith in humanity, make you wonder where the world is going, what's happening, what should you do. It's not going to build you up. There's no positivity there. It's in very short supply. And this is where the onus is on you to decide, what am I going to take in? Where am I going to put my thoughts? Because you know what the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. What emotions am I going to feed into? You know, what emotions will you feed? And you can feed your emotions. You can feed a bad emotion by listening to things that feed into that, that speak the same language, that are on the same level. Or you can go the opposite and you can say, I don't want to hear this. This is not my situation right now. I am choosing something else. And as the Bible encourages us, you know, where there's any virtue, if there's a good report, think on these things. And this is a challenge that you can take on to resist the current global narrative, to resist that, just that vibration around you, is to put that in its place. Just hear it from afar, hear it from a distance, but feed into that which is good, that which is pure, that which is honest, where there's virtue. Feed into that. That is what your bloodstream needs. That's what your organs need. And most of all, that's what your immune system needs. You're listening to The Arts Patricia Show, and it is RUAC Radio.
Be not deceived. The struggle is far from over. The best of being black is yet to be. So said the ones who died to set you free. Ossie Davis. Rest in peace, bro.
Love that song. That's My Time, Kindred, The Family. So you're listening to The Arts Patricia Show here on Rewack Radio. You know, at the beginning of this show, I talked about being with my mum as she passed. If you're just joining the show, I'm talking about self-love and self-care. And my self-care over these last few months actually manifested in taking time out. As much as I love doing the show, I also recognized that I needed to take some time out, not just to take time out, but I like to share from a cup that's full and overflowing. And at the time, my cup was not just being depleted, but I was using my cup all the time, because as Mum had passed, there was so much to do. And then looking after Dad, not only physically, but, you know, mentally and emotionally as well, to help him deal with it. They've been together over 60 years. That's a very long time. And losing your life partner and then being on your own, very difficult. So my own grief, I feel that I'm processing it, but in bits and pieces. And I probably will be processing it for some time to come. But I really haven't sat down and embraced it as fully, because I feel that I need to be 100% there for my dad. So that's kind of what's happening. But I wanted to take a moment just to share the time that my mum passed, because the few people that I've told about it, they find it, oh my God, that is just, I've never heard that before. That's, if you weren't telling me, I wouldn't believe you. But my mum passed in a very unusual way. And it was on a Saturday. And, you know, in the Caribbean, we have the tradition Saturday soup, yeah. So I was doing the Saturday soup, and it was around 5:10, and I thought, yeah, this is about time. Let me tell Mum, soup's ready. I'm going to put it on the table. So I come out of the kitchen, and I go into her room, and I say, Mum, I'm going to share the dinner now. So she said, yes, that's fine, I'm coming. So I set the table, put out the spoons and the place settings for her and my dad and myself. I didn't rush, because, you know, we just don't do things in a hurry out here. So I set the table and this is about a good 5 minutes, because she said to me, I'll be there in a minute, I'm coming. And needless to say, she wasn't. So I went in, I stood at the door, just at the door, didn't actually go in there, stood at the door, and I could see that she was just by the dresser, and she was folding things and putting them in the drawer. She sat in front of the drawer on a chair, folding up the laundry and putting them away. And as I said, Mum, she didn't respond. Normally she would say yes, or she would turn, but she didn't respond. And just for some reason, obviously your spirit knows everything, doesn't it? Just that moment of the lack of response, my spirit just quickened, you know, and my sort of breath caught itself in my throat. And there's just a moment of, I don't want to use the word fear, but real, what's the word? I'd actually use a different word, but I don't want to use it. Of fright, actually. I'm going to say fright. but it seemed unexplainable, because what was frightening about this? She just hadn't turned around to listen to me. She hadn't turned around to respond, but she was there. She was moving. She was putting clothes in, but there was just something. And whether it's a sense of foreboding, I don't know. But I remember walking into the room with a quickened step and saying, Mom, I put my arm on her. And she kind of slowly looked at me. And I said, "Mum, come on, you said you were coming, you're still here, the food's on the table." And she tried to get up, but it wasn't happening. She seemed very unstable. So I put my arms around her and almost helped her to not just get up, but I felt as though she wasn't going to get up. So I helped her to sit on the bed from one chair to another, basically. So, and she just seemed kind of all over the place. So I said, "Mum, what is it? Are you okay?" And her face just looked her normal self, but just very serene and gentle. And she kind of shook her head and she said, and this is while she's shaking her head gently or swaying from side to side, just her head. And she said, something is happening. I don't know what's happening. I feel happy. And as she said, "I feel happy," she flopped in my arms. Her head just went down and she just fell lifelessly into my arms because I had my arms around her and I was literally holding her whole entire weight. And I thought, oh my God. So I'm saying, mom, I'm shaking her. I'm saying, "Mom," just no response. And you can imagine how I'm feeling, because I'm thinking, no, she was just talking to me, she was just here, she's not ill, what do you mean? And just not even accepting it. And I remember just putting her to lie down, because I said I put her on the bed, and I just put her body down to the side. And I remember running into my room to get my phone. And I stayed in my room because I didn't want her to hear me, which doesn't really make sense. But I remember calling my sister and telling her what happened. I said, "Well, you know," because my mum had diabetes, she said, "Oh, perhaps, you know, her sugar's low, you know, give her some sugar." And I thought, yes, you know, I'm going to give her some sugar, which absolutely makes no sense. But when you don't want to admit what you're seeing in front of you, you're just not prepared to go there. You just try all sorts. I thought, I'm going to get some water, put some sugar in it, you know, and give her. But my friends, it was to no avail because mom had passed. And it was just so hard to deal with it. Even when they took her away, I still kept thinking, is she really dead? She can't be, because she's fine. We're just talking. She wasn't ill. Nothing was wrong. And you're thinking, maybe she's not. You know, maybe they've made a mistake. I've made a mistake. I even said to the funeral parlor, the gentleman that came, I said, "Are you sure? And they said, "Yes." And they did various tests and they said, "Yes, she's gone." And it was just very, very strange to come to terms with, you know, because one minute she was there and then she wasn't. And me and my dad were just sitting looking at each other, just almost not believing what had happened, you know. And it's just been over the days, weeks and months coming to terms with it. And still the overall feeling is one of, you know, I know where she is. And also thankfulness that she wasn't in pain and that she literally just stepped out of this earth suit, just stepped out of this physical body and found herself translated. I mean, that must be the way to go. Yes. Not having to go through a veil of sickness, not having to go through a valley of tears, but literally stepping out of this world into the next. That's the way to do it. So I've just said, "Mom, I know you're having a great time. I know you're enjoying your mansion and having the best time. And this is her best time, you know, because we are only here for the shortest span when you look at eternity, because we are eternal beings. We never die because we're spirits." And so she stepped into eternity and left us here, and we're dealing with it, you know. But the joy is she's in a great place, and obviously we miss her, we want her to be with us, but she's gone the way of life. This is how life is. And so I've taken comfort in the fact that she's with her father, and she's with those who've gone on before. She's now in that great crowd of witnesses who I know is encouraging me every single day. And I just want to encourage anybody here today who's lost a loved one to know that you know, we are only here for a short time. This is just part of the journey, part of the journey of us as spirit beings, as emanations, as expressions of God here on earth. We're here for a short time, and it's just so imperative that we find out the reason why we're here and stick to that purpose. Don't just do things to do them. Ask yourself, sit for a moment in your quiet time during your spiritual practice and say, am I doing that thing that I was sent here to do? Is my life on purpose? You've been listening to The Arts Patricia Show, and this is Rec Radio.
Give thanks for all that is.
Namaste, we give praise.